If you have your Bibles this morning, I want to invite you to the book of John with me, in John chapter number 3. And we're going to read some familiar scripture this morning, but I feel like the Lord would have us to look at it this morning. We're going to see when Nicodemus comes to the Lord by night. And I've heard a lot of preachers talk about him coming so subtly and so behind the scenes, but if you keep on reading your Bible, you're going to find out that there was a meeting of the priest and the high priest, and the question was asked, "Why have you not brought Christ to me?" And it was Nicodemus who spoke up publicly and said that he was a believer in Christ and took his stand. At the end of the Lord's life again, you see Nicodemus bringing 100-pound of ointment and things to anoint the body of Christ. And so regardless of how all of us got in, once you get in, your life changes. And you're ready to go public with it and let everybody know how you feel about the Lord Jesus. And Nicodemus did that. So if you have your Bible to John 3, stand with me if you will, please. We'll read verses 1 through 3, and I'll have prayer, and then you can be seated, and we'll bring the message. John chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles except thou doest, or that thou doest, except God be with him." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Our Father, we're thankful this morning for the blessed Bible. Thank you for the saints of God. What a very special, special moment and a service to be in, Lord, that we can come together and celebrate 40 years of a congregation being together. I know they haven't always been easy days. I know that there have been problems, there's been situations, but Lord, they've loved each other enough. They've come through the bad times. They've come through the good times. And Lord, what an impressive ministry. Just to walk in this room and to look around at all the flags, Lord, that represents their burdens for missions and souls. And I just ask you today, Lord, to just help us to preach to this dear people today in a way that would just be proper and fitting for this service. It is so special. And I'd ask you, Lord, to speak to every one of our hearts and draw us close to you. There be a need in our life, I pray when the invitation's given, Lord, we'll respond to that invitation. And I pray if there's one, Lord, that's lost, may today be the day of salvation for them. One struggling with their Christian walk, I pray today, Lord, they'll find their altar again. Bow here and make things right with you. I pray you'll have your way now. Use us for your glory. We'll thank you for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You might be seated. As Nicodemus comes to the Lord, there's many things that he got wrong. One thing is calling Jesus just a teacher come from God. But he was not a teacher from God, but he was God teaching. And I'm glad, as I've already said, Nicodemus got all of that straightened out and got it right in his life. Went on to be one of the greatest supporters and backers of Christ that there was out of all of his followers. But you know, it's amazing to me when you stand, read your Bible, and though you're reading a verse that you've read time and time again, this time something pops in your mind that you've never thought about before. That's why this Bible's alive this morning. That's why it's not dead. It's not a novel. It's not a commentary of the Lord's life and Christians' walk with God. But this is the inspired Word of God. Amen. The Bible. And it is fresh every single time that we read it. I've heard others make this statement. Said every time I read it, I get something different out of it. That's the Bible. That's the characteristic of it. I remember in my studies when I was reading down through these verses, I came to verse 3 and seen this statement, Kingdom of God. And what Jesus did with Nicodemus is a wonderful lesson to all of us in this room, because Nicodemus was addressing the Lord about who He is and what He is. And Jesus didn't even go to Nicodemus' question. He didn't respond to it. He didn't comment on it. But the very thing that He did was to deal with him about his soul and how that his soul needed to be saved. And Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But I come to that word, Kingdom of God, and my mind went back to my 10th grade biology class. Coach Barksdale was our teacher there, and in that biology class one day, he stood up before us, and he said, and I wasn't saved at the time, so it didn't mean a whole lot to me, but he said, I'm fixing to teach you something that I do not believe. He said, I'm a government employee. I am hired by the government to teach this book. And he said, but this chapter, he said, I must tell you that I have problems with it. And in that chapter, he went on to teach us that there are primarily three kingdoms that makes up the existence of life in this world. He said, first of all, there is a mineral kingdom. Secondly, the chapter said, there is a plant kingdom. And then thirdly, it taught us as 10th grade students that there is a animal kingdom. And he put man in that animal kingdom and taught us on the doctrine of evolution and told us that we had evolved from a single cell paramecium all the way to where we are the sophisticated human being that we are now. We once lived in caves because we were so ignorant. We didn't know how to build our homes. And he taught us that we were not any better than the animals that we had evolved from. And we sat there and listened to that. And then Coach Barksdale said, I am a Christian. And he said, I go to church every Sunday. And he said, I just do not believe this is the way man got his origin. But when I began to read my Bible after I got saved, and I've seen statements like this, Kingdom of God, that is in our verse now. I found also a statement in the Bible, Kingdom of Heaven. And I found a term, Kingdom of Christ. And when I read my Bible, I found there is a clear doctrine in the Bible that there is also one more kingdom, and that kingdom is called the kingdom of man. And they never mentioned any of that in that textbook on that class of biology. They never told us that there was a kingdom of man. They never told us that there was a kingdom of God. They just gave these primary three kingdoms that make up the existence of life. But there are three principles that they drew from those kingdoms. They said, number one, no lower kingdom can ever step up into a higher kingdom by its own power. And that's the process of evolution. Or in other words, the mineral kingdom cannot of itself step up into the animal kingdom. It doesn't have that ability. It doesn't have the ability to step up into the plant kingdom. It doesn't have that ability. But the lower kingdom is subject unto the upper kingdom. And that upper kingdom is the one that draws that lower kingdom up into its own kingdom. For an example, in the plant kingdom, which is superior to the mineral kingdom, the plant runs roots down into the ground and draws the minerals out of the ground. And secondly, the plant kingdom cannot just of itself step up into the animal kingdom. But the plant kingdom was subject unto the animal kingdom to draw it up unto itself. Or in other words, the cattle go out into the pasture and graze the grass, and therefore the upper kingdom is drawing that lower kingdom into itself. Second principle. They said once that lower kingdom has been drawn to the upper kingdom, it is in fact the presence of the lower kingdom that makes the upper kingdom a better place. Or in other words, when the plant runs the roots down into the ground and draws the minerals out of the ground, it is the presence of those minerals in that plant that makes it bloom, that makes it grow leaves, that makes it beautiful, makes it get larger every year. The trees we see has a circle perimeter around the stump of it showing the growth of every year. You know what made that giant oak tree so mighty and healthy? It's the presence of those minerals in that lower kingdom. And that tree would not have ever been able to grow the way it did except it reached down into a lower kingdom and drew those minerals up. Secondly, it's true between the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. The cow goes out into the pasture and grazes the grass. It is the presence of that grass or that plant that makes the cows more healthy. We get our milk, we get our beef, we get our pork, we get all the food that we ingest because this upper superior kingdom reached down to the plant kingdom and drew that plant unto itself. And then once that plant kingdom has become a part of that upper kingdom, it is the presence of the plant that makes the cattle healthy, makes the swine healthy, the sheep healthy, and whatever is eating from the plant. Even us, with broccoli and cauliflower and all those things. It's that upper kingdom drawing that lower kingdom. But when I found these statements, kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ, kingdom of heaven, I asked myself this question. I wonder if those three principles would be the same. Would they have been proper in that biology class? Would they have taught us the truth if they had have added these other three kingdoms to it? And so I went back and I looked at it once again. And I said the very bottom kingdom of all existence is the mineral kingdom. Then there's the plant kingdom. Then there is the animal kingdom. Then there is the kingdom of man. Then there's the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom of heaven is our eternal dwelling place. That's our ultimate desire. That's our voyage. That's our journey. That's what you've seen photographs of different ones, and Brother R had put at the bottom or top with the Lord. Why, they're not suffering now. Well, they're there. Amen. Where are they, Brother Hatfield? It's called the kingdom of heaven. And God dwells there. And God rules there. And our loved ones that have preceded us in death are already in that place. So all of us in this room this morning have that ultimate goal. That journey that we have down in our hearts. That I just know one thing. I want to make sure that I don't miss heaven. Thank God for that. So the kingdom of man is a literal kingdom. And by the way, there's a kingdom of man because man did not, in fact, evolve from a single cell. But the Bible said, and God formed man out of the dust of the ground. And they look for proof when you present some kind of evidence like that. Like, how can you prove there is a God? How can you prove that God made us? Let me give you one little thing in passing this morning. There's five senses in your body: sight, smell, taste, hearing, and touch. Out of those five senses, four of those senses can commit a sin. You can see something you should not see. You can listen to something you should not listen to. You have the sense of sight, taste. You can drink things you ought not to drink. You can ingest things that you ought not to ingest. So out of those five senses, you have the ability to commit a sin. But there's one of those senses that it is totally impossible for it to commit a sin. And that one sense is the sense of smell. It's not a great, great revelation, but have you ever noticed that you cannot sin with your nose? It's just totally impossible to. Now, somebody said to me one time, said, Brother Hatfield, they snort drugs up their nose. That's a way to sin. Well, that's an abuse of the nostrils. I'm talking about in the normal means of functioning. My hand can reach out and take something that doesn't belong to me, and I do not have to abuse my hand for it to do that. I can look at something. We've got a world going on. Do you know there's 8.4 billion people log on every day in America? I believe it's every day in America on pornography sites. They log on to look at something that they know is wrong. They know it's evil. They know it's not right. A lot of them are sitting in our churches looking at this stuff. But you don't have to abuse your eyes to look at that. They're in their normal means of functioning, they can commit a sin. But the sense of smell cannot sin. Wonder why, Brother Hatfield? Why is it so different? The Bible said, and the Lord God breathed in the nostrils of man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. It's the very place where God kissed His life into man. Not from a single cell, not from a paramecium, but yet God's lips, thank God, touched man upon his nostrils, and the life that God has, by the way, which is eternal life, came into man that day, and man became a living soul. So the kingdom of man is very important because that's where you dwell right now. You're a member of that kingdom. But you don't read your Bible very far till you find out the kingdom of man is in trouble. The kingdom of man is in some serious trouble because the Bible said God formed Adam and then put him to sleep. Took a rib out, made Eve, brought her to man, and called her woman. Some one writer said, or a preacher said the other day, said Adam took one look at her and said, "Woman." Amen. But God brought her to him. I mean, she was perfect. She was his delight. She was his companion, everything. But yet there was a dark day when Satan came into the garden. And Satan was in the the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and he began to put doubt in Eve's mind. He began to tell her, you're not going to die if you eat of this fruit, but you're in fact going to be just like God. Well, that sounded like good news to Eve. She did take and eat thereof, gave to Adam, and he did eat. The eyes of them both were open, knowing good and evil. And so the kingdom of man is in trouble this morning. There is a judgment on that kingdom, because man has fallen from the grace of God. Man has departed from that garden. Man has departed from the way that God wanted him to go. Yes, you are a member of the kingdom of man. You're not an evolved being from Paramecium. You are created and formed and brought forth from the very God of heaven, thank God. But understand this morning, the kingdom of man is the lowest of these kingdoms, and that kingdom's in trouble. The first principle that they taught in that biology class is the lower kingdom cannot step up into the upper kingdom by itself. And so man has no ability whatsoever to say, okay, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm just going to get baptized and I'll be a Christian. I'm going to read my Bible and I'll be a Christian. I'm going to go to church and I'll be a Christian. You can come up with every philosophy you want this morning. But the fact remains that in that 10th grade biology class, Coach Barstow said a lower kingdom does not have power to step up of his own self. You cannot of yourself become a Christian. But he said, secondly, that upper kingdom has to draw that lower kingdom. Glory to God. Somebody said, well, it's not my fault that I was born a sinner. That's right. You got it right. Wasn't your fault. You weren't there in the garden that day. But that is why Christ said, Father, I'll die in their place. I'll go, Brother Jay. Amen. And he died on an old rugged cross. What did he do that for? I'll tell you why. Because he was a member of an upper kingdom. Hallelujah. And the kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven actually, reached down to the kingdom of man. And when that sinner came down the aisle or wherever it was and knelt in an altar and said, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't want to die and go to hell. Thank God. From the portals of heaven, he reached down. The old song, he reached further down than I could reach up. Glory to God. And he reached down and got a hold of the kingdom of man. And though he had judgment on him, he lifted him up out of that kingdom. Glory to God. No lower kingdom will ever step up of itself. You have to be drawn up. So that's why we have preaching, singing, have church, and we come in here in the house of God and give an invitation for people to come. That's why we have gospel tracts in our Bibles and in our pockets and ready to give to someone that is interested in knowing Christ. Why? Because they can't help themselves. They can't get up here. They can't get where you are this morning. They've got to be lifted out of that. Amen? And thank God, I'm glad He reached where I was one day and brought Benny Hatfield up out of that horrible pit. Amen. The psalmist said He had brought me up also out of a horrible pit. That's where we come from. We come from a life of drugs, a life of sex. We come from a life of deception, a life of lying and betrayal and all the sins of the world upon the kingdom of man. And I'm telling you, in just one moment, in just a twinkling of an eye, thank God, wherever it was when you prayed your prayer, Jesus reached down and lifted you up out of that kingdom. And you didn't know how to explain it, you didn't know how to tell it, but you just knew, something's different in me now. Hallelujah! Most people stand up and they begin to cry and Then they'll have a smile on their face. And you know what? Instantly, everyone sitting in that auditorium knows they just got saved. Amen. How do we know? Because He lifted us up out of that pit. He brought us up out of it. All right? Second principle, He said, once that lower kingdom has been brought up to the upper kingdom, it is the presence of the lower kingdom that makes the upper kingdom a better place. So when He reached down and lifted you out of the kingdom of man, He set you in the kingdom of God, which if you read your Bible, you'll find that the kingdom of God is a physical and spiritual relationship and fellowship with the God of heaven. We're not waiting to be something. We're already that. Amen. Right now. I've got a new body coming, but I'm as saved right now as I'm ever going to be. Glory to God. I'm saved by the grace of God. And guess what? He not only lifted me out of that kingdom where a judgment was, but He set me in a brand new kingdom called the kingdom of God. And now, if that teaching is right, I'm supposed to make this kingdom a better place. Just like the minerals made the plant better, the plant made the animal better, now the kingdom of man is supposed to make the kingdom of God a better place. What better time to preach this sermon than following a video of 40 years of the life of this church? Somebody made this a better place. Somebody took a single shovel right out here it was, in the picture, just one shovel of dirt. The first groundbreaking dip of dirt out of that ground. Brother Jay, you were there. Then people begin to gather around and people begin to tithe and people begin to give to missions and people begin just to give offerings. I mean, somebody somewhere has given to the ministries of this church. I said a while ago, look around on the wall at all the missionaries that are supported. Somebody's made this place a better place. So the teaching is right. It is the presence of the lower kingdom that makes this a better place. You are important. You're vital to this church. You may not be the one on the platform. You may not sing. You may not play the instrument. You may not preach. You may not teach. But you are vital to this church. You are a very important existence in the life of this church. Why, Brother Hatfield? Because the lower kingdom always has a part in making the upper kingdom better. Ask yourself this question. Is anybody closer to God this morning because of me? Somebody somewhere ought to benefit because you're saved. Amen. You're supposed to make this a better church. You're supposed to make it a better ministry, a better existence all the way around. So, number two, the teaching was right. Third principle, he said, once that lower kingdom has brought enhancement to the upper kingdom always releases that lower kingdom and lets it return to its original kingdom. An example of that is autumn right now, fall of the year. The leaves will fall from the trees. The process of plant decomposure will begin to take place. And we have leaves laying out there that have been there for years. And now they're beginning to crumble. They're beginning to form topsoil. You know what they did? That mineral went up into the plant. It made the plant healthy. The autumn came. The plant released it back. It went back down into its original kingdom and made it even better by the cycle that it took. Same is true with the animal kingdom. The cattle graze the grass. The grass makes the animal more healthy. And then the animal does his business. And it returns back to nurture those plants again. The cycle was a benefit to everybody. Wonder if that's true with us this morning. There's a kingdom of man where it was a judgment on your way to hell, and God will save anybody that's in that kingdom that cries. And when you cry out for mercy, He reaches down and saves you and puts you in a kingdom of God. And you make this a better church, thank God. But then guess what? He says, you've got one more job. I want you to return to your original kingdom, and I want you to make it a better place too. Hallelujah. How do you do it, Brother Hatfield? By getting you a handful of gospel tracts, or by taking a Bible, by going back out to those that are still in the kingdom of man, whereof is a judgment, and saying to them, have you heard that Jesus loves you and wants to save your soul? Guess what? Because you're a soul winner, your original kingdom is made a better place. Is anybody closer to Christ because you're saved? Somewhere there should be somebody that you are going to. Not being pushy, not being barren, overbearing, but yet making yourself available in their life. There should be somebody somewhere benefiting because Christ sent you back. And you know what? You can't just send anybody back to that original kingdom. I've heard men that have been saved out of alcohol, for an example. And they make this statement, it wouldn't be good for me to go into a bar. Amen. And I respect that. But you take somebody that's never been in there before, never tasted of it, man, sometimes they can walk in a bar and start handing out gospel tracts. But I'm just saying, you can't send everybody just anywhere. But somewhere back there, you ought to fit in somewhere. And somebody ought to benefit because you're saved and God has lifted you up and made you a part of the kingdom of God. And by the way, I could go through every one of these principles again one more time and show you how the kingdom of God is yet not able to step up into the kingdom of heaven. But we're waiting for the kingdom of heaven to draw us up, which is called a rapture, amen. And so we've got one more time that we still need Christ. When that last breath comes in our life, we have no more to say or nothing else to do, and the family gathers around your bed. You have one more time that you're going to expect God to reach down where you are and draw you out of that kingdom of God. Amen. There'll be people standing around your bed saying things like, he was a good saint of God. He loved God. She loved God. She walked with the Lord. I seen Christ in her life. They'll be standing around talking about that. But you'll need Him one more time. One more time to reach down where you are on that bed of affliction and draw you up into the kingdom of heaven. And thank God He'll say to you then, your troubles are over. I give you a brand new body, glory to God. It won't wrinkle and the hair won't turn gray. And thank God the hair won't turn loose. Amen. Amen. Someone, somewhere should benefit because you're saved. Amen. Let's stand and bow for prayer.